The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today, we'll have the daily updates from my August 2018 trip. That's coming up on this episode 183 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas and have lots of trip reports for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert, the creator of WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for this episode. Today is the daily recorded clips from my August 2018 trip, and they're all stitched together here into one big podcast quilt or whatever. And if you listen to them live as I post them every day, then these will be familiar with an extra ending because I did record a little bit at the end of the trip that I haven't published yet. But these are the daily updates. This style is different in that I recorded throughout the day as opposed to at the end of the day. Not only was the feedback really good, but I really enjoyed it. So I think I'm going to start doing it this way from now on until something else comes along, if it does. But I really like the style because it felt more in the moment. Everybody seemed to like hearing the background music in the parks because you could feel like you were there as opposed to me sitting in a hotel room so tired recording at the end of the day. So I am going to be going to Disney World once a month. And so these will happen every time I go, and I look forward to bringing you more of these. But without any further ado, here are my daily updates. Okay, so this is the end of Wednesday, August 1st. Does it feel like I was just doing these recordings? Because I was a month ago. But this is my new reality because I get to come more often, thank goodness. So today was a travel day, 3 a.m. alarm, 4 a.m. Uber, 6 a.m. flight. Got to Orlando and took an Uber from the airport to the hotel, got checked in. Surprisingly, the room was ready that early at like 11 a.m., which is fantastic because the check-in is actually later than that. And then the afternoon, lunchtime and the afternoon was spent with Jen, who is the director of the travel agency. We had some work stuff to do, but having a work meeting while at Disney World is more fun than if we weren't at Disney World. And then this evening, the main goal was to do the Highway in the Sky Diner Round, which is a total mouthful. And the only reason I got it correct when I said it just now is because I read it off of the badge that we were given. So here's the basic gist of this event. It is basically like a food and drink monorail crawl that starts at the Contemporary and goes to all the resorts on the monorail and ends at the Contemporary. And in each place you get food and drink. So that's what I knew ahead of time. The price is $179 per person, not cheap. I will totally acknowledge that up front, but I like to try everything. So sometimes that means expensive things. And so that was sort of what I understood ahead of time. And so you do have to dress a little bit nicer. They don't allow like tank tops and sort of casual wear. So we wore nicer clothing than normal. And we got to the Contemporary around 5:30. They asked us to be there around 5:45. And you first start at the Wave, which is a restaurant on the ground floor of the Contemporary. And we got checked in there. They served us a drink. They served us some food there. We were there for about until around 6:30, I think it was. And then it was time to go on the monorail to the next stop. And the first car of the monorail is reserved for people that are at this event. So we always got to ride at the front. There were, I think, 23 people in our group, which is a really nice size because we got to all talk throughout the night. It was very like just chat. It was just really fun to be able to chat and drink and eat as we made our way. It was raining, but we were perfectly protected because we were either in a resort or in the monorail. And so we saw these people coming in with our wet ponchos and everything from the rain, but we were perfectly fine. So we went to the Polynesian. And they had a whole area set up and they had the guy playing music and another drink, which was a Mai Tai, and then different foods there, including a tuna tartare, some other kind of fish and a beef, item. And we were there for a while. And then we went to the Grand Floridian, and Grand Floridian actually had two parts. One was in a room at Citricose, which is a restaurant there. And they basically, our group was split up into different, smaller groups, but our room had like a dozen people at a dining table and the door was closed. So we were just allowed to drink and eat and chat. And we actually went around the table and all shared information about ourselves. And it was really great. And then after being there for a little while, they took us downstairs to the tea room at the Grand Floridian. And there we had champagne and a charcuterie sort of sampler to ourselves. And then from there, we made our way back to the Contemporary, where they took us outside on the fifth floor balcony, where we had desserts and coffees. I think there was alcohol there as well. I didn't drink that. I had coffee with my dessert, and we got to watch Happily Ever After fireworks from the balcony there. So all in all, really great. If you want to see pictures, during trips, I tend to post on Instagram a lot. And so this is on Instagram stories, but, and those disappear within 24 hours, but I've saved them on my Instagram profile as a highlight. So you can go and click Highway in the Sky and you can see pictures of everything that I've just talked about. So I would give it a thumbs up. You have to be 12 to do it, but I would highly recommend 21 or older just because the drinks are such a big part of it and would make it much more worth the cost. Obviously not super cheap to do that. At $179, but I really, really loved it. Somebody asked on Instagram about doing the Pixar Play Zone, which is the childcare. The only childcare left at Disney World is the Pixar Play Zone at the Contemporary. And I think it's a great idea if you have kids to take them to the Pixar Play Zone. Go do this, and then you know you start and end at the Contemporary, so you can just pick them up afterwards. I think that is a fantastic idea. I can wholeheartedly recommend it, and it was a super fun night. So tomorrow, Thursday, I am planning to be at Magic Kingdom at park opening, and I will be testing some touring plans and sort of documenting the process. If you're an Instagram person, I will be documenting it on Instagram stories just to show what is possible in terms of touring, and when you use a good touring plan and fast passes, how much you can get done in the morning before lunch. And then tomorrow I have a Be Our Guest dinner reservation because they just changed their menu. So it went from an a la carte type of table service to a fixed price menu, and I want to give it a try. I have not been the biggest fan of Be Our Guest dinner in the past. I have much preferred breakfast and lunch, and I've always thought the dinner was overrated. Or at the very least, it's mixed reviews. But I am back. I want to try it again. My philosophy is sort of, if I don't like something, to try it again periodically just to see if things have improved. So I want to go back and see how this new offering is at Magic Kingdom. And I'll be back tomorrow to let you know all about it.
It is 7:51 and I am walking to the bus stop at Pop Century. I decided not to use the lavalier mic today because I felt like it was drawing more attention than I really wanted, and this just looks like I'm talking on the phone. So we'll give this a try to see how it goes. But basically, I usually do try to get to the bus stops a little before 8 o'clock so that I'm on the bus and headed to the parks by then. The Magic Kingdom does open as early as 8 a.m. to let people in and order coffee and go on Main Street and stuff like that. So I'll be there a little after that, and I'm going to be testing touring plans today to see how efficient they are and also to demonstrate to people how much you can get accomplished in just a few hours. So I'll be trying to do these audio updates throughout to let you know. So I'll be back with more information about that when I get to Magic Kingdom. And at Magic Kingdom now. I don't know if you can hear the music on the voice memo, but I recorded the times right after I recorded that last bit just to give you an idea of how long things take. So I walked up to the bus stop at 7:54 a.m. and the Magic Kingdom bus was there, which is why I like to get there right before 8, because if you miss that one, then you might wait another 15, 20 minutes for the next one, and then you're kind of late arriving to the parks. So 7:54 I walked up, 7:58 the bus left, 8:18, 20 minutes later is when we pulled up at the Magic Kingdom bus stop, and I was through security and the turnstiles at 8:25. So just like 30 minutes from the time I walked up to the bus stop to the time I entered Magic Kingdom. Obviously those times can vary, but that should give you an idea. So now I'm here to do some things on Main Street before the park opens, and we'll see how the touring goes. So one of the things I wanted to double check on Main Street while I'm waiting for Magic Kingdom to open is that there's no quick service food options at Casey's Corner, the ice cream parlor, anymore. And it's true, they're not open. So it looks like the only place to get a quick something to eat on Main Street while you're waiting for Magic Kingdom to open is Starbucks. So you can go in there and get coffee and pastries and whatever else is on their menu, and then come to the castle and wait for the opening show that starts 5 minutes before the park opens. The other thing you can do while you're waiting for Magic Kingdom to open is take pictures. So I stopped for a photo pass photographer and got a few pictures with the castle in the background, but those are good ways to spend time while you're waiting for the park to open. Okay, it is 9:31. I'm walking to my third ride of the day. I started with trying to do Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, but it's closed due to technical issues. So I hopped over to Winnie the Pooh, rode Under the Sea during the Little Mermaid, and now I'm going to do It's a Small World. So that'll be the first hour. If you follow my touring plans, you know I like to do things by hour. And then I have a fast pass for Peter Pan's Flight, and we'll go from there. But I'll be back for an update on the second hour coming up next. It is 10:32. I was actually able to ride Peter Pan's Flight in the first hour with a fast pass and then walk over to Haunted Mansion, which had a posted wait time of 40 minutes, but really it was just 20 minutes. So now I am walking towards Big Thunder Mountain, which normally I would recommend having a fast pass for, but when I booked these fast passes right before this trip, it wasn't available. The thing I do have a fast pass for is Splash Mountain, and it says that it's down right now. So that's frustrating, and one of my biggest takeaways from when I do test these touring plans is that ride outages are a pain in the rear, and it makes me so frustrated for people who are first timers and, you know, have a plan in place. They've thought out, they've planned their fast passes, they know when they're going to eat and take bathroom breaks and whatever, because it's a lot harder to pivot when you are a first timer. So that is a little upsetting, but I think that it's a good thing to keep in mind, and I'm going to try to make sure that people know how to pivot, even if it's just their first trip. So I am walking on the wooden boardwalk along the water that is a really nice walk to take you from Haunted Mansion to Big Thunder Mountain, and I'm really enjoying recording these little audio clips as I walk because I feel like I'm just updating a friend about what's going on during the day. So I will be back in a little bit to tell you how the next hour goes. And then I'll have lunch and head back to the hotel to work for a while. I ended up waiting about 35 or 40 minutes for Big Thunder Mountain. Splash Mountain is closed, so I couldn't use my fast pass for that. So I decided to use mobile order at Columbia Harbor House. There were only two of us in order, the mobile order. One of them was a reader and one of them was me. So those of you who know how to do the mobile order at quick service locations, you will save yourself some time because most people still do not know about it. So I had a lovely, I got a kid's meal, by the way. I like to not spend more than I need to on food. Their tuna sandwich is super good there. You get two sides and a drink, so it's perfect. And now I am recording this while walking out of the park and getting ready to head down Main Street because I have some computer work to do back in the room. That's my normal pattern on trips, is I like to go in the morning and the evening and in the afternoon. When it's super hot and busy, that is when I do the computer part of my job. So I'll be back later because I have a BR guest dinner reservation, and I'll let you know how it goes. So I didn't expect to make a recording while I'm back at the hotel room this afternoon, but I did just call the Bounce Back offer line. Bounce Back offers, if you don't know, are deals that you can book while you're still at Disney World. You have to book it by your checkout day. And all you have to do is dial extension 8844. Anybody staying on site is eligible. And the reason I do this every trip, but the reason it's especially important this trip is that free dining is the offer for 2019. So I just wanted to give you the information in case you wanted to look for it on an upcoming trip. The dates are very interesting for 2019. It is May 28th through June 4th, June 28th through September 7th, December 6th through December 24th. So that just shows you how much summer and fall travel patterns have changed. There is a minimum 4-day stay and 4-day park hopper tickets. The excluded resorts are All-Star Movies, which is interesting. The Little Mermaid rooms at Art of Animation, Port Orleans French Quarter, the bungalows at the Polynesian, the cabins at Copper Creek, villas at Grand Floridian, and Bay Lake Tower. So that was interesting. Usually, I think the last couple of years, free dining has been a bounce back offer August, September, and October, which means if you're here during those months, it is often an option to book for future trips. So that's what I just found out and wanted to let you know. Currently waiting to be seated at Be Our Guests for dinner. I checked in a few minutes before my reservation time. They had me wait on the bridge, and then I received a text message to say I needed to proceed to a different area because my table was ready. So now I'm expecting to be seated, and then I will let you know how the food is. I'm just finishing up at Be Our Guests dinner. Maybe the recording is capturing the music and the sounds of the restaurant. But as I've mentioned before, this was sort of, to me, an overrated dinner. And I was excited to come back when they changed the menu because I thought it'd be nice to give it another shot. And let me just tell you, everything really great. All the cast members I've encountered, really amazing service. There was no line to meet the beast. The appetizer, it's a fixed price menu, so appetizer, entree, dessert. And my appetizer was lobster bisque soup. My entree was a filet mignon, cooked perfectly medium. And then everyone gets the dessert trio, which includes a macaroon, a truffle, and the gray stuff served in a white chocolate cup that looks like chip. And had a glass of wine that was really good, kind of coffee, the dessert did. Everything really, really fantastic. So I'm happy to have a good experience here because in the past I never really have. So that was really great. The only downside, I think, is that it's 2 table service credits, and that's not the best value of a dining credit, but I pay out of pocket, and I have Tables in Wonderland, which gives 20% off, so it becomes much more worth it when you pay out of pocket, especially if you get a discount. And so, you know, I would just look at the menu and see if it appeals to you. It certainly was a big hit with me. So 2 thumbs up for me for the new menu, as long as the price point and menu offerings look appealing to you. So that basically wraps up my Thursday. Let me know what you think of these audio clips and how it went. I have listened back to all the other ones today as I'm editing, and I kind of like it. I think it's nice to have the background music and the sound of the parks and also my fresh thoughts as I'm doing things, because when I sit down at the end of the day and I'm so tired, it's hard to remember what I was feeling or thinking in those moments. So let me know what you think. Also, a lot of the things I talked about are on Instagram. That's what I do most of the time. I actually have an indentation in my pinky finger from holding my phone. I answer so many questions on Instagram. I post so much to my Instagram story. And if you want to sort of have a visual to go with some of the things I've talked about, that is the best place to go. Tomorrow, I am headed to Epcot to do sort of a similar thing where I like to test the touring plans and just see how it goes. So I'll be updating Instagram story during the day and probably doing the audio clips again. But let me know your thoughts. I am interested to hear them. Talk to you tomorrow. Good morning. It is Friday. I left my hotel room around 7:47. While I was walking, I opened the My Disney Experience app to look at bus times because I thought, I wonder if the bus is coming in like a minute or like 10 minutes. And I saw that it was coming in 3 or 4 minutes, so I sped up. Now I'm at the bus stop, and the Epcot bus is about to pull in, and I'm headed there this morning to test touring plans. We'll update you as I go. I'm on the bus on the way to Epcot, eating my breakfast bar, drinking my bottled water like I do for breakfast on every trip. And I was just in the app looking at the park hours today for the different parks, and I wanted to share this with you. So when I went to the bus stop, there was nobody at the Epcot bus stop, which is what I'm doing. So I was the first person and hopped right on the bus. But the Magic Kingdom bus stop was packed full of people. So just out of curiosity, I pulled up the park hours in my Disney Experience app. And this morning was extra magic hours at Magic Kingdom. And that is just an example of how most people on site will choose to go the extra magic hours, even though they won't actually make it there in time to use them. So if these people were at the bus stop at 8 a.m., at extra magic hours started at 8 a.m., the soonest that they will be there is 8:20 or 8:30. By the time they, you know, ride the bus there and go through security and all that kind of stuff, it's about 30 minutes or so. And it's just unfortunate because that park's going to be the busiest and they're not even there to fully take advantage of the extra magic hour. I don't know, just frustrating. That's why I don't recommend extra magic hours unless you are somebody who absolutely knows that you can get up in time to take advantage of it. And most people won't. So, just an interesting side note. Okay, so it is 8:36 a.m., and I'm going to try to remember all the times to let you know. This voice memo app won't let me look at the notes on my phone while I'm recording. But I believe I left the resort on the bus at 7:57, got to Epcot at 8:12. Not bad, right? Got through security and at the turnstiles by 8:17, and then they let us go into the park a little ways at 8:26. So now it's 8:36, and we are being held at Spaceship Earth. And in a few minutes, the Jammeters, which are like a percussion group, will come out probably and entertain us. And then close to 9 o'clock, they will let the park fully open. So one thing, I'm always looking at like the best way to use your time. And one of the things that I've suggested in the past was that you spend this time getting photopass pictures taken, because there used to be photographers in front of Spaceship Earth so you could get your photo taken before you get all sweaty and tired. But there's no photopass photographers out. And when I asked a cast member about it, they said, we don't do that anymore. The photopass photographers will be here at 9. So I don't know how long that's been going on. I don't know if that's a permanent forever thing. But as of right now, there's no photopass photographers. However, you can hand your camera to a cast member who's at the turnstiles and ask them to take a picture of your family with your own camera if you would like to do that. So in a little bit, we'll probably be in the park, and I'll let you know how it goes. It is 9:42 a.m. and I just did Soarin' and Living with the Land, and now I'm walking to the Seas building. So it's been a good start to today. Epcot's not super busy from what I can tell so far anyway. I just wanted to mention something that just happened. I exited Soarin' with a reader, and I meet a lot of readers when I'm here during my trips. I don't usually talk about that on the podcast, but I meet a lot of them, but she said some very, very nice words and got kind of teary-eyed, and it was just a good reminder that this is why I do this job. There are certain aspects of the job that are not so easy, but of course nobody wants to hear complaints about it. Someone who has a Disney World job, because it is my dream job, but it's just nice to be able to have a reminder about who it's for. So I don't know if she's a podcast listener, but if she is, hello to you and your little girl. All right, so I am headed into the Seas building. I'll be back probably in an hour to give you an update about where I'm at. It is 12:03. I can't remember where I left off in the last update, but I ended up riding Spaceship Earth with a fast pass, which I highly recommend. People that used to come to Disney World and haven't been in a few years always think that's a silly use of a fast pass, but with Fast Pass Plus, things have changed and it's a good use most of the time. Then I headed over to Mission Space where I did the green version. The green is the lighter, less intense version that just came out about a year ago, I think. It always has a lower wait time. I walked right onto it. If you want to do the more intense side, the orange side, it has a little longer wait than the green side. Then Test Track Single Rider line, which had a posted wait time of 30 minutes, but it was actually 40, which was kind of frustrating. But I've already done two of the headliners, Soarin' and Test Track, and I have a fast pass for Frozen Ever After. I'm actually walking right now to a gift shop to get a fuel rod because I accidentally left my external battery in the room. So instead of looking at it as a bad thing, I'm just going to look at it as a chance to learn about fuel rods, because I know a lot of people want to use those during their trip. And so now I'll have one. So I'll be back with an update. But coming up next is probably Frozen Ever After and lunchtime. Just finishing up lunch at Katsura Grill in Japan, which is a quick service. Somebody on Instagram said, where are the quick service locations at Disney World that have air conditioning? And I thought that was a really great idea for a future post. There aren't that many though when I started thinking about it. Katsura Grill is one of them. Liberty Inn in the American Pavilion is another. There's one in Mexico. There just aren't that many, but we're going to compile a list because I think that's a great idea. Today at Epcot is so not busy. The only issue is that it's hot. So finding air conditioning when you don't have a dining reservation is really nice to kind of just get out the heat for a few minutes while having lunch. Anyway, so I asked this morning on my Instagram story if people wanted me to check things, look for things, whatever. And I've answered lots of questions on my Instagram story as I've been going through the World Showcase. So I am going to finish up walking all the way around, looking, getting some pictures for the website, stuff like that. And then I'm headed back to the hotel so that I can take my normal afternoon break, get some work done. And then tonight I am probably going to go see Christopher Robin in Disney Springs, because there's nothing better than a Disney movie at Disney World. So we'll see. I'll see how I feel after this afternoon break and I'll let you know. You might be thinking, Shannon, why are you at a dance party in the middle of the day? I'm not. That's just my hotel room. I'm recording this from my hotel room. This is what it sounds like to have a preferred pool view room. You're literally overlooking the pool, which is just really loud in the middle of the day. And I just wanted you to be aware of it, because if you need quiet, like if you have a kid that's taking a nap or something, you might want to request to have a room at Pop Century that is facing the water as opposed to the pool. It's a lot quieter. And change of plans. It is 6:24 p.m. and I was trying to debate if I wanted to go to Disney Springs and see a movie, but I'm just too tired and I still have some work to do. So I decided to call room delivery, which you can do for dinner at the Value Resorts. And so that'll be here within the hour. And this will be my last update for today. Tomorrow, I'm going to Hollywood Studios to do a very similar thing that I did today at Epcot and yesterday at Magic Kingdom, which is I'm going to be testing some touring plans. I also want to just see how Toy Story Land has affected the parks, because it's really changed things up, including making Jedi training a lot easier to get into, and Rock and Roller Coaster and Tower Terror are not as busy, and I'm just really curious to see how the park is flowing. And just as soon as we get a hang of that, then it'll all change next year when Star Wars Galaxy's Edge opens. But I will be back here tomorrow to give you updates throughout the day and let you know how it goes. It is 6:34 a.m. I am walking to the bus stop, and believe it or not, I'm a little bit later than I had hoped. Hollywood Studios right now is opening at 7 every day for on-site guests. That only goes through, I think, end of August sometime. So if you want to be there at park opening, you have to get up early because the crowds rush in for Toy Story Land. So that's what I'm headed to do. And I'll be posting on Instagram all day for people that want to follow along. So stay tuned, see how it goes. It is 7:58 and I have been here for an hour, and I'm currently getting ready to board Tower of Terror after riding Slinky Dog Dash at park opening and then walking right over to Toy Story Mania and getting on without a wait. The wait for Slinky Dog Dash at park opening was about 20 minutes. I entered the park at 7:03. I was on the first bus, so that was like the earliest I could get here using Disney transportation. But then a 20-minute standby wait, which isn't too bad, and then Toy Story Mania. I do have a fast pass for Aliens Thrilling Saucers a bit later, but for now I'm going to do the rest of the park, where Tower of Terror posted wait time is 13 minutes. If you ever see a 13 at Tower of Terror or Haunted Mansion, that means that there is no wait. So after this, I have a Rock and Roller Fast Pass, and we'll see what else we can get done today. Just walking through Hollywood Studios, which is mostly dead except for Toy Story Land. I did two rides in Toy Story Land, then I did Tower of Terror, Rock and Roller Coaster, all of them no wait. Rock and Roller Coaster and Tower of Terror had no wait, that is. And then I am walking towards Star Tours, which also has no wait. But on the way over, I decided to stop at Jedi Training to find out the lowdown on that. And here is what I was told. So you used to have to go there right at park opening in order to sign up because it's super competitive. But they said on a busy day, they would fill up by noon. And some days they don't fill up completely at all. So you definitely don't need to make Jedi Training your first priority. They said most people we'll go do high priority things like Toy Story Land and then come over and do Jedi Training signups around 9 a.m. That is with 7 a.m. park opening right now. I asked about the 7 a.m. park opening because there was somebody there that seemed to know, like a manager type. And he said that when the 7 a.m. opening times end at Hollywood Studios, which I think is August 25th, that the park will go to 8 a.m. opening. It will not go back to a 9 a.m. opening. So that's all helpful information. And hopefully will help you plan if you are interested in Jedi Training. It is 10:19 a.m. and I think after the last update, I went to Star Tours, which is a walk-on. Then I went to Muppet Vision 3D and then Frozen Sing Along. Those were all easy to get into. And now I am headed back to Toy Story Land because I have a fast pass for Alien Swirling Saucers. So basically before 11 a.m., I will have done the whole park, including all three of the Toy Story Land attractions, so not bad. So this is my last update from Hollywood Studios. If you hear noise, it's from the gift shops inside the park because I'm walking through the gift shops on my way out so I can stay cool because the park is really hot. So I ended up riding Alien Toy Land Saucers with Fast Pass and then mobile ordering at Woody's Lunchbox and sitting outside to eat it. I have the same opinion of Toy Story Land that I did last time I was here, which is it's just so hot. I did the rest of the park without a problem, and I think it's just because there's little air conditioned spots to dip in and out of all the time in the park, but when you go back there really isn't, and so it just feels overwhelming. But the touring plan that I used today was a good one because I didn't really wait for anything. And so based on that, I'm going to make some revisions to the touring plans for Hollywood Studios on the website, which is that you need to do Slinky Dog Dash or Alien Swirling Saucers at Rip Drop, and the other one you need to do with a Fast Pass. Toy Story Mania is easy to do now because everybody else is in line for the other two attractions for the most part. And then the rest of the park is easy too once you get out of Toy Story Land. So that was pretty easy to do, and I'm glad that I came and tested that out. I'll be back again probably in a few weeks to see how it is after they change the opening time for Hollywood Studios, because right now it's 7 a.m. A lot of people are not willing to get up at 7 a.m. to start that early. So when they change it to 8, maybe the patterns will change a little bit, but I'll be back to see. But for now, I'm headed back to the hotel for a little break, and then I will be back in Disney Springs tonight because I have a dinner reservation with a friend, and I'll let you know how it goes. Okay, it is 5:47, and I am headed to Disney Springs for a 7 o'clock dinner reservation with friends. And I just want to mention that I checked the My Disney Experience app from my phone before I left to see when the bus times were, because I thought, well, if it's coming in 5 minutes, I'll run over there to make the bus. But I saw that it's coming in more than 15 minutes, so I can stroll up to the bus stop at a leisurely pace and go to the lobby and check a couple things that people had asked me to check on Instagram. So make sure you use the bus times during your trip as well. So this is my last update for Saturday. I just got back to Pop Century from Disney Springs. I didn't do any updates from Disney Springs because I was with friends. One of the reasons I like to take trips for myself is that it is easier to do things like constantly take pictures and post to social media and record audio clips and stuff like that. But I was with friends tonight, and so I didn't record anything. But we went to Wine Bar George, which has only been open for a few months, I think, in Disney Springs. And we definitely needed a reservation. It was very busy. But it's Saturday night, so that makes it more busy. But it was good. Appetizers and drinks. It's not cheap, but it was good. We had a handful of different appetizers and a couple of different drinks. And the service was good. So if you want to try it out, I highly recommend getting a reservation. You can, I think, find it on OpenTable and from Disney. My Disney Experience. What else? Oh, and we just ended up walking around and walking through Disney Springs, going into some of the shops. Got a thing or two here and there. And then came back to Pop Century. So this is my last update of this trip, I think. If I do anything of interest tomorrow, I will do another update. But right now, I'm not really planning on it. I do have my next Disney World trip booked, and it is for a month from now. So I'll be back September 6th through the 10th, I believe it is, staying at the Dolphin. And between now and then, I also have a trip to Disneyland August 21st. So staying busy and loving every minute of it. So that's it for today, and maybe that's it for this trip. We'll have to see. And I'll be back with you soon for another episode that'll just be me. It won't be a trip report, and we'll see how it goes. Okay, so it is 10:32 a.m. on Sunday morning, and I am just sitting here in a little room off of the main Pop Century lobby where you can come and use outlets. They have, like, normal wall outlets plus USB plugins and stuff and some chairs in here. I'm just sitting in here as a way to record this and do some work before I leave. And I decided I wanted to do an update because checkout day is one of my passions, like the logistics of it, because I want to make sure you understand how it works. So I use Resort Airline check-in, which is something anybody can use on their checkout day, no matter if you use Magical Express or not, as long as you fly on one of the participating airlines. So what you do is just get all your stuff gathered up, and you need to do it in the morning, and you take it down to the Resort Airline check-in desk, and it works just like at the airport when you check in your luggage and get your boarding pass and all that kind of stuff. They're basically like a remote airport desk, and they take it, and that way you don't have to worry about transporting it to the airport. And in my case, I'm going to Disney Springs first and then going to the airport on an Uber. So not having to take my luggage is a huge luxury right now. So that I did that. And I just wanted to make sure that you knew that that was a thing that existed. And then I am going to head to Disney Springs. And like I said, take an Uber from there. If you're not taking Magical Express, that is a good option. I'm at Disney Springs Guest Relations right now. As usual, I'm early for the noon lunch time schedule. I don't know what to call it. It's not a date. It's not an appointment. I'm meeting somebody for lunch at noon. And I just wanted to come into Guest Relations and sort of hang out. And I just wanted to mention it to you in case you need to use it. This space, it's not a window you walk up to. Like, if you're at the parks on the outside, Guest Relations is a window you walk up to. It's more like, it looks like a hotel lobby, and it kind of functions like a hybrid between a hotel lobby and park Guest Relations. So you can do things here like check your bags, like you can with Bell Services at the hotels, at the hotels where they'll just hold your bags for the day. You can buy tickets, activate annual passes. If you buy annual passes, you have to activate them before using them, and so you can activate them here. You can get park maps. They have water, just like a hotel lobby. They have seating, just like a hotel lobby. So it's a really great space to kind of just sort of regroup and to get some things taken care of if you don't want to do it in the parks. So nice little space, and it's a lovely place to hang out while I wait for my lunch to begin. Okay, so I am back home and recording this as kind of a wrap up and the outro to this episode. But just in summary, Pop Century, as usual, was great. The parks were not busy, very, very moderate crowds, but it was extremely, extremely hot.
And I am sort of fascinated by the new pattern for touring Hollywood studios, and we'll be working on updating some of those touring plans accordingly. So anyway, that's it. I'll be back September 6th to stay at the Dolphin, and we'll see how that trip goes. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.